Hey, what's up? Welcome to another episode. This is actually a recorded conversation between me and Aaron from Streamer Nexus. He invited me on his platform to have a conversation with him. So this is actually Streamer Nexus episode 6. For them, I was a guest there, and he gave me the okay to share the audio with you. So guys, I will make this episode 470 on this side. This is actually episode 6 for them on their side. So Aaron, thanks so much for the opportunity to come on and chat with you. Guys, enjoy this conversation between Aaron and I about random thoughts from me. Hope you guys enjoy that. And yeah.
Good evening, everyone. The Streamer Nexus podcast is live. I have my guest, Uriah, here with me tonight. He is host of his own Twitch channel and also of the Show Radio Live podcast, some of which we will talk about both of these channels tonight. Give us an introduction to yourself.
Word. Thanks again for allowing me to be here, man.
Yeah, no problem.
Yeah, so I've been podcasting since 2009, so around Uncharted 2 days.
Ooh.
Right? So that was August of that year. I decided to finally pull the trigger and start my own podcast. And it's been a journey ever since. I think we're at 468 episodes archived, added an awesome co-host, Daniela, also known as Miss DJM, in March of 2017. I've always wanted to, you know, speak and have my thoughts out there. But what's interesting and ironic about that is I struggled with English growing up, so I had to take ESL because I used to go to school in Haiti and come back to the States for vacation. So going back and forth with that, that was always a challenge for me. So I used to watch a lot of sitcoms to help me understand how individuals interacted. You know, even though they were acting, that really helped me. You know, the Charles in Charge, the all the shows, even the soap opera stuff, the Days of Our Lives, you know, all those, All My Children, and I used to watch a lot of those to understand how individuals, you know, did their thing, right? So aside from that, you know, got into gaming around 1987. Mm-hmm. My mom said, "Hey, if you really want this Nintendo Entertainment System, you're gonna have to clean your room consistently for a week, and then we'll evaluate if you're, you know, eligible for that, you know, reward." And you know, time went on. I was able to do that. And as far as gaming history, it's been Sega Saturn, Sega Genesis, you know, PlayStation, PlayStation 2, PlayStation 3, 4, the Xboxes, and so on and so forth. Yeah. So it's been fun.
Wow, that's quite a journey to getting your Nintendo. Quite a
absolutely
couple of things you have to leap through, a couple hoops. Awesome, man. Well, we're happy to have you on the show, and I'm really excited to talk both podcasting and streaming and just everything that you do. It's going to be really exciting.
Absolutely.
Cool. So when what's our date on when you started streaming, I guess?
So I had to go back and check that, right?
Yeah,
so
yeah.
So the original date for the creation of the channel, I think, was 2011. But I didn't really start streaming regularly until the last 2-3 years, right? So I guess you would say 2016, 2017, you know, I peaked in and out. 2017, we did the channel for the Show Radio Live, which is an affiliate channel, and I'm learning all the lessons from there to my channel so I can build that, you know, as far as like personal branding is concerned. So although both of them fall under the personal branding umbrella, I haven't really done anything with my channel until the last maybe 6 to 8 weeks.
Yeah,
maybe 3 or 4 months. You know, that's been pretty consistent. Oh, what's going on, Trapped? And Real Hodor Moist Show. Right. So that's been pretty much the situation with that. But more so, you know, I've done like a slight rebranding of some of the things related to the podcast. You know, we got an official intro from a buddy of mine, DJ Cutman. So we started playing that in 468. And we're going to, you know, continue with that until, you know, anything else changes or, you know, gets better, depending on what we're trying to do there. You know, the logo got a little refresher. Same logo, but a different taste to that, you know, in terms of how it looks and how it's presented you know, maybe, you know, t-shirts and stuff in the works as far as some of the things that we're considering for that. So just been, you know, really focusing on tightening up everything, even, you know, the hashtag TSR pod, which is the hashtag that I searched that no one was using. And we started really implementing that for the show everywhere, whether it's the Instagram page or the YouTube videos that we're putting up, the podcast itself, all that stuff. So just tightening up everything and making sure that it is, I guess, cohesive, I think, is the word I'm looking for. And then, yeah, go from there.
Wow. So why did all this come about? Why podcasting? Why streaming? Why get into that?
Okay, so the honest question, as it relates to that, the honest question and answer, I should say, is I believe I'm better than most of the people who record, right?
All right,
and
I think
that we don't want to admit that because we feel like we're doing someone a disservice when we admit something like that, right? Because I don't wake up and say, dude, you are trash. You know, that's not the self-talk that I'm doing. You know, I don't know what anybody else is doing. So, yeah. So I think that once you realize that you have something to bring to the table, whether it's a skill set, whether it's charisma, or whatever the case might be, you want to bring that to the table. Now, in the past, in years past, it was difficult unless you were a CNN person, NBC, you know, unless you were on a major channel or something like that. You couldn't get the opportunity to speak your thoughts or even record them the way we're able to record them today, right? So yeah. With YouTube and Vimeo or you name it, all the different video platforms and even the tools that we have, the technology that we can just use a professional mic on pretty much any device and have that on the go and create our own platform, I think that has allowed the landscape to be very, very equal, you know, quote unquote. And we can do whatever we want, you know, at that point. But so now that we have all the tools and we have all the channels and the distribution places for those things, what the heck are you doing with it?
Right? Yeah.
Because if you're not doing anything with it, it doesn't really matter, right? So I think that between, you know, my channel, the show radio channel, Daniela has her brand, you know, with her channel, which is absolutely dope. And we decided to combine, you know, the Voltron forces. She has great experience in Twitch. I've been podcasting for a long time. We've been friends for a very, very long time. So we decided to just collaborate and just have conversations over the microphone. So I think that doing those things, you know, gives us, I guess, validation to some degree that we're capable of doing them, right? And I think that if you do it wrong long enough, you can get better. Right. And
true.
I think that having them recorded gives you the opportunity to go back and check the X's and O's and see where you've done wrong and where you can improve. So it's fun. That's the answer to your question.
Oh, wow. So are there some mistakes that you made that you've kind of learned from?
Yeah. For podcasting, it's, you know, I was trash in the beginning.
Yeah.
Right. So, I mean, 100 episodes in, 200 in, 300 in. I said somewhere around 200 and 300, I think I started getting a little swag, right?
Okay.
And 400, 450. Then it became about empowering individuals who are finding a reason not to come out, right? So somewhere between, I would say, 300 and 400, it's like, okay, the tools are here, and if I can do it with just these tools, whether it's the Audacities, which is free, and you can grab a $20 mic from Behringer or two, so that's $40, or, you know, grab like a Saramonic audio rig, which is like $30, right? Grab a $15 tripod from Amazon, and you have your own video show there. Grab a free Twitch account, you know what I mean? Like, or whatever. So I think nowadays it's more so, yeah, let's play Destiny and shoot things, but let's also empower the individuals who are struggling to find a reason not to create content, right?
Right.
And I think that that's really the stuff. So many mistakes, you know, guesting mistakes, interview mistakes I've made, you know, obviously Twitter mistakes, just conversations with individuals. who understood my point of view. I thought they understood my point of view, but they didn't, and that went left, mm-hmm. right? So trying to manage that, the clapbacks on social media, right. as they call it. But yeah, so now it's more so being very strategic with execution, whether that's a show, whether keeping the thoughts that I have to share them on the show or even this platform here. You know, shout outs to you. Thanks for that. and so that way you don't miss exactly what I'm trying to say. And that's yeah. So there's definitely been many mistakes along the way with that.
Cool. Like to welcome Kat Farum, DVD Trash, the real Hodor.
Love Kat.
All our good friends are starting to stop by. If you guys have any questions, feel free to throw them in the chat there, and we'll get to them as we go. Word. And we have both links to both of his channels, Uriah and the show Radio Live right there. So if you guys want to check him out, give him a follow. When does the next episode of the show Radio Live go live?
Okay, so right now we're planning for tonight at 10 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, right after we're done with this awesome conversation here.
Yeah.
I'm going right in to edit show notes, like, immediately.
Oh,
after.
Boy.
So
be there or be square, you know?
But I wanted to do this because you've shown us so much love and yeah. stuff like that. You've hosted the channel plenty of times, and you always find a way to just drop by even to say hi. So I think it would be robbery if I didn't just come on and just chill with you and talking about the gun that I think is the dopest gun right now in Destiny, you know, something random like that, and then we could just go from there.
Yeah. So this week we're going to be really pushing both of your channels and trying to get as much participation out of the Streamer Nexus group as we can to come check you out, and this is kind of a way for them to get to know you, and it's going to be really exciting.
I need y'all, man. I need the Uriah channel to be Twitch affiliate. I need y'all. Yeah.
I imagine you're pretty close, but yeah, we're gonna help you in that push, man.
Okay, so let's talk numbers. I think right now it's at 2.38 out of 3. So it dropped.
Oh no.
Yeah. It was like 277 at one point. I'm like, man, I need some love.
Oh, just watching those numbers.
Miss DJ, what's
Miss
up?
Miss DJ. Welcome to the podcast.
What's up?
We're gonna talk about you too, I guess.
She's the best co-host ever. Best co-host ever.
So tell us the story of how she became involved in the show podcast.
Okay, so it's interesting because Ms. EJM was on the show as a guest a couple of times before, you know, I asked her to marry me, quote unquote, right? Because that's what it felt like. It felt I was nervous. I don't know what was going on. That whole thing. So, you know, what I noticed is, and I think, you know, you guys should pay attention to that too, you meaning you listening, that if you notice somebody that's always supporting you, whether you're up or down in your creative process, right? You have to make a note of that because you do not know how that person is going to impact your, you know, process, your content creation in the future, right? So, you know, Ms. EJM would always be in the comments on Facebook or she will send a text or she will say hi or something like that. And out of all the individuals that I've noticed, I always noticed her comments. I don't know if it was the right timing or whatever the case. I could be in LA, I see something, I could be wherever, right? Mm-hmm. And I was like, you know, there has to be something to that. Every conversation we ever had has always been pleasant. You know, that was always great. You know, we never had any arguments about anything, which even now, right? Even planning different things for the show, you know, and if we argue about something, it's really something that we're both passionate about, and we do that on the air, right? So you guys hear that. And things that would be considered that you wouldn't want to talk about on air, I want to talk about them on air because I want to show that this is how I believe relationships should be, especially when you're co-hosting with somebody, right?
Mm-hmm.
So you need to feel like the people get along. And if you're listening, you can tell that they don't get along, right?
Yeah.
just by listening to how they're interacting with each other. So between all that stuff, so around March of 2017, I was like, okay, so I have to I have to find a way. And she was at a crossroads. I was at a crossroads. And we wanted to change the trajectory of some of the things that we were doing. And she wanted an outlet that she was free to express herself as far as video games, tech, and stuff was concerned. I wanted somebody I could trust that wasn't me, that was an additional person, right? Because after doing it for so long as a solo, some of the process gets old, right? So the only thing that gets really new about it is getting guests on there, right? Going to different events. And to be honest, if we're honest, it's lonely. Because if you don't have team members and there's a win, who am I sharing it with?
Yeah. Right?
I don't know. There's no, you know, I could share with my wife. But she's very, you know, very private about how much social media that she wants to be involved in. So I had to, okay, so I could share it with my colleagues who are already podcasters and content creators, but they've been there. They've done that, right? So that doesn't, you know, do anything. So it was a perfect crossroads. So I asked her, I think we were on Discord at one time, and I think she was either heading home or heading to the store or something like that. And I said, yo, you know, I'm looking for a co-host. And she was like, yeah, really? I said, yeah. I said, you know, this person has to have this. And she was like, oh, that's cool. And I said, this person would have to have that. And she said, that's dope too. And I said, yeah, that makes sense, right? And she was like, yeah, that's really dope. That's going to be a dope person. I said, yeah, that dope person is you. And she was like, whoa.
Oh.
And that's how it happened. And that's how it happened. And from there, we started building it and figuring out, you know, how we were going to do it and stuff like that. And how much, you know, outlet that she has. You know, she's free to do whatever she wants to do. She's free to do the show whenever she wants to do the show, that kind of a thing. Mm-hmm. And I trust her completely with all the back end stuff. And I think that must be there. She is a total package, man. Like, I'm lucky to have her, right? She's a total package, man. And and I told her if she ever goes, I might cry, but you know, so she's definitely a blessing.
Absolutely. Let's talk about some of your favorite games to play.
Okay.
Yeah.
Where you want to go with that?
I mean, just all time or more recent, whatever you feel is.
We could roll with it. Okay, important. So all time.
Yeah.
Has to be Sonic games.
Okay.
I love Sonic games. Okay. So you have Sonic games. There's a couple. The Shenmue series that you started playing not too long ago.
Yeah.
Tomb Raider has been a favorite. That's always been a favorite. Halo for sure, up there. You know, top two, top three for me. Mario, we got to put Mario in there. So we have the big ones, right? The big franchises, and then we have the companies that were born out of different things. The Bungies, right? So we've been playing Destiny for the last what, 4 years, three, four years, right?
Yeah.
So that's the main one right now because of the RPG ongoing element to that. So there's been some indies. I didn't play that much of Zelda, but I know that's big for a lot of individuals. Street Fighter's in there. You know, if you're into the fighting game community, that's big too.
Sure.
So there's a few. But if I had to just do one ever, it would have to be Sonic for me.
Oh, okay.
Ever, right. Because I remember when Macy's used to have it upstairs on the second floor. And then I would go up the escalator and I would make a left and then all the screens would be there. And then, you know, it would be like Genesis does. You can't do this on Nintendo. Genesis does that whole commercial stuff.
Oh, my
and
God.
Sonic, right. Yeah. It would be the 16-bit guy running around and doing the spins and stuff. Like I fell in love with that, you know. Wow. Mario, yes, but Sonic was always dope.
That's so cool.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think I have similar experiences. One question that we often get is if you were to show, like, if you were to have kids or if you're going to have kids, what sort of game would you want to, what's the first one you would be like, I have to bestow this upon my children?
Tetris, right?
Yeah, yeah. You got to give them that experience.
We got to do Tetris. Platformers are good. Super Meat Boy would not be the first one, but that's a good platform too.
Yeah, there might be some that you show him later on in life.
Yeah, yeah. Okay. But yeah, Tetris would be, yeah, some building block stuff would be dope.
That is cool, yeah.
Yeah, so I would do Tetris and the Marios in the beginning. Maybe Duck Hunt and stuff like that.
Wow. That's a lot like how I started. My dad used to give me his Game Boy, and he had Tetris on it. And that was how I learned a lot about that. And then I started playing like Dr. Mario and all the other... Then we had, of course, a NES and a Commodore 64 and an Atari in the house and all these different things. And I just started picking up all those, and pretty soon it was like you couldn't put them down once you started.
No, you couldn't. No. Columns for Sega, right?
Mm-hmm. Ms. DJM, thank you for the follow, and welcome to the stream. I'm glad you're here.
DJ.
I'm really excited to have all of you here. And if any of you have any questions, feel free to throw them in the chat there, and we'll get to them.
Please.
So we were talking about this earlier, you know, about your confidence as a streamer and a podcaster. So what do you think differentiates you from all the other streamers and podcasters out there? What's your lure?
I could spin anything into a great conversation, you know, in terms of pivots. I think that's a skill set that you learn over time because you spend a lot of time alone, right? And I think that podcasting solo for so long has allowed me to have different bullet points in my mind to pivot into different conversations, right? So whether that's, you know, if there's dead air for me to transition to you and ask you questions, which is not necessarily the format, I can find a way to get that done, right?
Yeah.
So I think that maybe I should start marketing my stream more of a Q&A thing, because I'm always up for Q&A stuff. But I think at times we're so involved into Destiny and the games that we're playing now, sometimes we forget. You know, sometimes I forget to look at the chat, but I have a challenge with my particular chat because it doesn't automatically pop up on the screen because there's a port that's supposed to be open on the ISP side, and they say it's open, but it's not open. So I think that's affecting some of my notifications, and it's been ongoing like that for a while. Differentiation is I believe I'm a talker, you know, at this stage in the game. I could be in a conversation with anybody. I don't think that I'm limited in scope and how I can interact and who it is based on their intelligence and stuff like that. So that's always been a thing that I appreciate, you know, as far as conversation is concerned. And I think it's a skill set that is learned, whether you read a lot or listen to a lot of, you know, podcasts, or you create your own platform for that, or you allow yourself to fail in the content creation process as far as podcasting or streaming is concerned. But you can't evaluate something you haven't put out yet, right? And I think that there's a lot of individuals who want to critique themselves without any portfolio, right? So we can look back at Miss DJM. She's been streaming for 6.5, 7 years or something like that. We can look back and see the progression of growth when she used to do a lot of dance stuff, to all the indie games that she's been doing lately, to the Tomb Raider recently. You've done Tomb Raider recently. So we can see the progression of the different stuff that we've done, but you can't have anybody critique you unless you have something out. So that's one thing. The other thing is, if you are afraid of criticism, then being a public content creator should not even be, you know, something that you're considering, because once you decide to be online, period, you've given everybody license to critique you, right?
True.
So there's that. So I think that, you know, skill set in terms of I believe I'm a pretty decent conversationalist as it relates to, I guess, my experiences with podcasting, more so than the streaming stuff. The streaming stuff is really, I'm at the, you know, novice stage of that, to be honest.
Okay, yeah. Well, it takes a lot to switch from one to the other. That's what I'm learning. I'm thinking, like, as a streamer going into podcasting, I'm like, what? How do we do any of this? Can I carry a conversation as well as I can with a stream? Because there's always chat firing and stuff to you to, for you to respond to. And then you have a game, of course, which just constantly keeps me talking or just involved in that. And so right. to keep lulls from happening and stuff like that, that is quite a skill, I guess.
Word. So I think that's part of it. Yeah. And I don't know, you know, I think that's what it is, but the person coming into the channel, it may be something different for them. It may be a track record of being a podcaster that long, and they feel comfortable, like they know yeah. segments of myself and they're comfortable with that. So they want to hang out on the stream. I don't know. It could be yeah. that. I don't know.
I can go for that. I can agree. Let's see. What are some key aspects and features of both a good stream and a good podcast? What are some things you look for when you're watching a stream or something you consider about your own stream that, like, oh yeah, this is what makes it good?
Okay. So for the streams that I've gone into, the host, always welcoming, and I think that's great. Checking chat is great. Mm-hmm. From what I've seen, what makes me feel dope when I yeah. go into somebody else's channel is what I'm talking about. They're welcoming, and if the stream chat is moving slow enough, they see your name, they yeah. say, hey, you know, thanks for joining the stream, blah, 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 that thing. That makes anybody feel good. If you announce their name and you take the time to do that, not a bot, I think, and you can do that, you're not, you know, 280,000 concurrents. That's ridiculous because you're not going to see those names.
Yeah.
But when you can, you know, announcing them is great. Telling them, it's kind of like leading sheep, right? Okay, so go with me here. That sounds weird, but let's go.
Yeah, a little bit.
So the sheep know the sound of the shepherd's voice, like in traditional sheep, as you keep them, right? So even in a crowd or in a marketplace, when the sheep is walking with their shepherd, if there's three shepherds and three groups of sheep, they know when to split into the voice of the actual shepherd going through a marketplace, which is phenomenal, right?
Yeah.
So I think that being present every single time, after a while, you just know, you just get comfortable with the person that you're spending time with, the yeah. content creator, the streamer. And you could have a great day, awesome day, not so great day, but because you're familiar with that particular content creator, their voice or whatever they do on stream, every time they get a host, they dance, whatever the thing that they do, you know, whether it's the makeup stream, you know, makeup or creative stream, there's just something about that particular content creator that speaks to you. You're going to go there regardless. And what I did learn recently from, I think it was a stream that I was watching, there's three types of individuals that join chat. And I'll see if I can remember all of them. There is the personality follower, right? Wherever you go, doesn't matter what you do, they're going to be there. There is the game follower.
Yeah.
You have to be playing Tomb Raider to see them
yeah,
or not.
That's true.
Okay. And then there's the giveaway guy or girl. If you're not doing a giveaway and they don't know about it,
yeah,
they're not showing up. Right. So I think that, you know, understanding those individuals. So in my mind, I'm like, okay, so on the podcasting side of it, we don't get to see, you know, Daniela and I, we don't get to see who is listening because there's no chat room on the audio side of things. Like when we pod it,
right,
on the chat side, when it's live, then we can see individuals interacting. That's dope. That's awesome.
Yeah.
But most of our listeners are lurkers on the audio side.
Yeah.
So there's no way for us to gauge, you know, that whole thing. So I think that, you know, welcoming individuals in the stream, that's always dope. If you have a shout out stuff, which we talked about in the past, because I was trying to set that up for my channel, that's cool.
Yes.
You know, being their friend, which sounds weird, but that's a thing, right? Even though it's a what they call a parasocial relationship. Like
yeah.
if you see somebody on screen long enough, you feel like you know them. Like ask the Beehive, ask the individuals who are really into their Drake or whoever that artist is that they love, right? Ask them. They have a group. No matter what's going on, they just know that they're part of that group. So when you have individuals who are so passionate about the content that you're creating, there's just something about that that is, for lack of a better word, there's magic in there, right? Mm-hmm. Because they show love, and they're always there. They support you. They tweet your stuff. They host your channel and stuff. So any way we can make that person comfortable with us, where although it's a parasocial relationship, meaning they see you long enough, they think they know you, right? Because they're watching you on TV, literally.
True. Yeah.
Right. Because you can put the Twitch on the big screen, small screen, or whatever. So after a while, I think I know Aaron.
Yeah.
Right. So I want to hang out with him. So when he decides to have a meetup somewhere, maybe I'll go because I like him. You know, I like the way he does his stuff. So you have that particular thing. And then after a while, those individuals actually become really, really good friends. Like, who would think, you know, 4 or 5 years ago that one of the dopest people in my life would be Daniela, my co-host? Like, who would think that, right?
Yeah.
I wouldn't think that. Not from an online relationship.
Yeah,
right? True. That's scary. You know what I'm saying? That could be really scary. So from an online interaction to comments to thumbs ups to hostings to popping into a stream here and there, listening to a podcast, retweeting stuff, and you never know. You never know how things are going to turn out.
That's incredible. So you guys went to E3 this year. Is there something you would like to share from that experience? Maybe something you learned or something you guys really enjoyed?
Yeah, so E3 2018, mm-hmm. I don't know about 2019 right now, thinking out loud, but... I don't know yet. Maybe not. So my big thing for this past E3 was Daniela's first... E3 as press, right? So 2017, June 2017 E3, she was with me. She bought the ticket and we were just I was showing her what I believe how to execute certain things as it relates to getting contacts and stuff like that. 2017. 2018, if I just gave her certain companies to make sure that she talked to, I would have been okay with however she did that. Because I think she was prepped to do that, to execute. She's super smart. Okay, so 2018, that my big thing for 2018 for us was the fact that, you know, she had full access to the show floor to do whatever, you know, she wanted to do. And that was encouraging to me because we both got approved for press this year. In terms of stories... She's just dope, man. I mean, that's really all I got. I mean, she just knows how to. And I think that, okay, so going back to what I was saying about segments of your personality, mm-hmm. if it's genuine, that's why you can't be fake when you're recording. If it's genuine, then people who watch and listen can take all those segments, and when they actually meet you, they can make sense out of it, right?
Yeah, true.
Like a puzzle, right? So even when I shifted modes, I don't know if it was my countenance or facial expressions or whatever the case might be, she knew when I was changing course and conversations before I even did that, because she's been paying attention, right? So even that vibe of things, when people are genuine, when they create content, you know, you will get to know how they think about certain things, how they reason certain things and stuff like that. So all that work was done in advance. So by the time we finally saw each other face to face, 2017 mm-hmm. and 2018. It was, you know, it was just like a big party. and then the other thing too. One of the things that I think that individuals should do who are considering getting like a team member, a co-host, or whatever the case might be, is share the thing that you believe could be that could destroy the relationship.
Okay,
so here's what I mean. So there's some things that I believe took place in my past that I had to share with her right away. Like, this is what happened. This is the persons involved. This is how it went down. I believe I was wrong in this area. I believe I was justified in that area. I don't know if there's any air looming there still, hear the tweets, hear the emails, all that. I did all that 2017.
Wow.
In the event that anyone would want to cause a wedge in our relationship, the way we do things as a team, and one of those things come up, they'd be like, I knew about that day one. You're not telling me anything I didn't know.
Ha.
Right?
So that just like a marriage, you already have everything in the air so nobody can come in there
all
and
that.
Ruin it.
All that. Right. I did an Eminem, you know, cipher. I'll tell you everything about me, hand you the mic, and you got nothing. Right. So I did that, you know, on the onset, 2017. And every week or every other week, more so 2 to 3 weeks at a time, I always check in with her. Are we good? Mm-hmm. Did I say something this week that was crazy that you didn't check me on? Or I always do that because I want to make sure that nobody suffers when we execute a recording or whatever the case might be, because I know for a fact that if I feel that there's something potentially wrong, I know the listener or the viewer already know that, right?
Mm-hmm.
So I'm not leaving any room for that.
Wow. Miss DJM is saying that Dr. Scholes was a lifesaver.
Word. Yeah, so Dr. Scholes, I said to her, I said, let's try to get these things, you know, size them up for us so when we're walking around, we're not hurting, because there's so much walking in E3. Mm-hmm. And I was like, you know what? I think if we invest in these, we should be okay. And that worked out really well. So we did the Dr. Scholes things. I put them in my Converse. She put them in her shoe, and we just went with it. And I think that by the time, because E3 is what, 4 days, give or take, something like that.
Yeah.
By day two, people are done, man. You see people lining up on the wall. You know, they're just laying on the floor, passed out, you know.
Oh, no.
Yeah, because they're so tired of walking. They didn't prepare their body for that. It's torture.
True.
It's a form of torture. It's you know, the Navy has their hell week, but that's our hell week, because we get 3 hours of sleep a day,
mm-hmm.
and we're walking everywhere. And if we did the calendar right, then there's everything on the calendar for every single day, mm-hmm. from Sunday through Thursday. Right. So the only break that we get is maybe a Nature Valley bar at 12 p.m., right?
Yeah, yeah.
And then maybe some food if they offer it at a particular press, you know, space or whatever.
Sure.
So outside of that, it's a rough week, man.
Wow. What an experience, though.
Yeah, it's pretty dope.
So let's talk a little bit about managing and maximizing your presence on social media. You probably have some experience with the podcast and the stream.
Yeah,
something you can share. Yeah,
absolutely. I think that having everything match is great,
mm-hmm.
because whenever I see a logo for a car, it's the same logo, right?
Right.
So whether it's a color scheme that is very familiar, because certain colors give us, you know, certain emotions.
Mm-hmm.
Blues allow people to be, you know, a little bit more comfortable with you when they see the blue. Black is like a power color, so that's why you usually see like the senators and those politicians wear a lot of blues and grays and stuff like that. There's a reason for that. They actually have somebody hired to dress them according to the time and the moment and stuff like that. So I think branding colors is important, and definitely pay attention to that. Your description for your social media should have all the information that is necessary for you to have a potential opportunity. So your email should be in there, obviously. Things that you like, whether it's a coffee thing or a particular car, a certain game, those things should be in there. Mm-hmm. Spell checking is really important. It's really important. So I usually use a website called draftin.com. I usually draft my post there, depending on the kind of post it is, make sure all the stuff is there. Then I copy and paste into the tweet, schedule it out. You know, schedule stuff by 12 noon is great if you want something to go out at a particular time, because if it's 12 Eastern time, then it's, you know, -3. So whatever that is, what was that, 9 on the West Coast or whatever. So schedule stuff in a timely way. Images are big, so definitely throw some images in there if you can, and have it intentional, you know, or a call to action in that particular thing. So if it's you're about to stream and you want somebody to come in there, then have, if you have a hashtag that you're tracking, make sure that's in there. We were talking about that a little bit earlier. Yeah. So things like that, things that are intentional, like even before we started, just a little, you know, backdrop of some of the things that we were talking about before, I asked you like, hey, what was the site they were going to, I had an idea it was this one, but I just wanted to make sure. So that way when I tweeted or retweeted something, you know, it was, it didn't affect your brand in any way and it was the right information when it went out, not a redo, not a, I got to delete this tweet to do it again, that kind of a thing. So double checking it and chill with the like the negative conversations on social, because all that is tracked. So if that's your scene right now, you like causing friction, then it's going to come back and bite you. So try not to do that, because that still falls in your brand. It was you 2017, but that's still archived, right? So then you just have to, you know, be careful with that kind of stuff. So stuff like that. And be intentional about your tweets. Retweet individuals that you respect their work. Be thoughtful about what you're saying and how it may impact the individual that's going to read it. You can't just say what you want to say, although it would be great for me to talk about Toad and how I like Toad as a character and Super Mario. Maybe it's not a good conversation for me to be having right now.
Yeah.
Take care, Kat. Have a good one. It may not be a good thing for me to have right now. You know, so now I have to make sure, you know, was Toad my favorite character? Or now, do I need to go to Luigi or Mario now? Or maybe Wario, right?
Yeah.
Because he's kind of dope. He wasn't mentioned into any recent news and stuff like that. So you just have to be careful of piggybacking on certain stories, because if you do that, then that sticks with you as well. And trending topics are great, but you can create your own trend. So depending on how you want to manage that, just be mindful and intentional about how you want to do that stuff.
Yeah, I think there's a lot of people making those mistakes that we can learn from. We can see what's going on right now in our culture and kind of steer ourselves away from that in a way that you've talked about. Is like, watch what you tweet, because once it's out there, it's permanent. Like, you can delete the tweet, but, you know, someone may have screenshotted it already, and it's out there. You know, it's got your name next to it. That's like a signature, practically, to whatever you've said, and they've got you. So, okay. Let's talk about this community in specific. How do you believe you could best impact and be a positive force in this community, I guess?
This community in particular? I don't know. That's the honest answer. I do know that if there's, you know, hosting and retweeting that I can do, I can definitely do that.
Yeah.
I do know that there's awesome people here that I've talked to and seen their streams and stuff already. And really, right now for me, is more educational, because I am learning how to appropriately market my channel, my streaming channel, and you guys have the wisdom that I'm looking for right now. So essentially right now I'm just a student in the whole community that we're a part of right now, and I'm learning a lot, and I think that's where I'm at with it.
Okay. So there's a lot that maybe different members of the community can teach you, and honestly they're all pretty approachable. I've approached a lot of them about advice for myself and my stream. I'll ask them like, oh, how do you do that cool transition thing? And they'll be like, oh yeah, man, no problem. It's just this. And I'm always teaching other people how to do different things with their streams. And so if anyone ever has a question, yourself included, I mean, just come to any one of us or me, and I can kind of point you in the right direction if I'm not suited to advise in that. But I think that's part of the thing, part of the community is, you know, it's the hosting, it's the retweeting, it's like showing up in other people's streams, getting to know all these really cool people, and maybe building relationships and friendships with some of them, and learning from them, all these different things that we can take advantage of for being in this group.
Absolutely.
And there's so much love that you can get out of all that. And that's what I'm really proud of with the group, is the what a good positive force it's been so far.
Yeah, dude, you got a good thing going, man.
I'm excited. Let's see. What are some changes you would like to see in the gaming and streaming arena?
The gaming and streaming arena.
Yeah.
Okay, so I think that my main thing now, according to what I'm seeing, even on the hip-hop and the culture stuff, or is relationships, right? Like, if somebody's coming up and they're doing well, celebrate them.
Mm.
Right? I think that if, you know, we're just talking about what you can learn from this community and stuff like that, if there's things that you can learn, apply it to how it fits your brand, right? Because nothing is really new now in terms of like features, right? Because Snapchat had a particular feature that Instagram just ripped off and made their own, right?
Yeah.
So when you think about it along those lines, if people are using tactics and different things that are copyable, if that's even a word, but yet they're applying the stuff to their own brand and their own personality, and they're doing well, and you know them, and they're quote-unquote colleagues and associates in the industry, gaming or streaming, then you have to celebrate that, right? Because maybe if you celebrated with them, they would tell you how they're fast-tracking a particular area of their process. Maybe they would share it.
Yeah.
But if you decide that you want to hate on it, then they won't share it.
Yeah.
So there will be no opportunity there for you to glean from whatever they're learning, or a book that was like a secret code for them that they say, I read this book and it changed everything.
Yeah.
Right? So I think that in this community, the streaming community, podcasting community, just people in general, just try to be mindful of, yeah, you're behind a keyboard, but the individual that you're either talking about or celebrating, they are people, right? Yeah. And I think that you have to be mindful of that. And who knows? Maybe that little thing can change, you know, some of the things that you're even doing right now.
That's true. Wow. I like that. So let's talk a little bit about proper etiquette in streams.
Word.
Yeah.
Proper etiquette in streams... be a likable human being.
Yeah.
Right? I think we can start there. I think that there's this thing where I feel like it's a YouTube comment section where you say whatever you want to say because the anonymity is there and no one would really are because you're hiding behind a toad emoji maybe. I don't know.
Yeah, sure.
I don't know. But you have that. So instead of just coming into a stream and saying, hey, what's up? What's going on, everybody? Or, hey, guys, not trying to offend anybody because I said guys, because in the context of what the person is saying is everybody here, not a particular, you know, gender.
Yeah,
right?
Sure.
So you have that. So just greeting individuals. You don't necessarily have to talk to the actual streamer the whole time, because if there's 60 people in the chat room, and all your questions focus at the streamer, the content creator, that's not good vibes.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah, that's true.
Not good vibe. So you would want to at least mix it up with the camp that's like 60 plus concurrence or whatever it is in that room.
Yeah.
And just be like, hey, what's going on, people? Like, what y'all doing? Like, where are they at in this game right now? Or, you know, and try to be a part of that, and don't promote your stuff either.
Yeah.
Just don't.
Just like, don't. It's just not don't. Hard.
Just don't. Okay? Unless you are invited to a platform that you can promote your stuff. Then just don't. Just don't do it. Just say, hey, guys, follow me on Twitter, blah, blah, blah. You know, I just, you know, finished streaming at this channel. Come on, fam.
Like, yeah, get out of here.
Don't do that. You're going to get banned, right?
Yeah.
So stuff like that. And I think that it's... we're being invited into somebody's home, if you will, their cave, if you will, of gaming.
Sure.
Right? And we have insight into what they're doing on a regular basis, their favorite drink, if they use gaming goo, you know, or something, right? Or if they have a particular thing that they do before they go live, whether they do IRL first before they go into their thing, tell you what kind of game that they're going to play, or if they have a particular drawing that they're thinking about. So we get insight into this particular cave of gaming, right? Mm-hmm. These channels. You can't just roll up in there and just do whatever. Like, I would kick you out. Like, if you came into my studio,
yeah,
right, without respecting the studio, like, you wouldn't be welcome back.
True.
You know what I mean? So I think we go so far as to only thinking about it from, hey, it's just somebody on the internet. They'll never know who I am, so I'm just gonna wild out. That doesn't work that way. It's not beneficial to the content creator, because if they're just building their channel and they don't have the alligator skin yet of, you know, just ban this guy, you know, their mods just take care of it or whatever, because they're that confident about their stuff at the time, then you're gonna hurt the streamer's feelings, if you will.
Yeah.
But if that's your intent, then you're gonna be successful.
Yeah.
But I'll ban you. Like, don't even.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Like, we got that confidence, both of us. We're like, right, hey, I don't need you. I'm not that desperate, you know?
I'll ban you. I'd rather have zero people in the room than have you in.
True.
And I think that, you know, once you have that resolve, you know, I'd rather talk to myself for an hour while I'm shooting people in the face in Destiny, Crucible.
Yeah. And it takes a while to get there, I think, especially when, you know, you got the goose egg of viewers.
Right.
You're like, oh, I'll take anyone, even if they're a terrible person. But honestly, no, don't settle for that. And it does take a thick skin. Zenix Gaming, thank you for the raid, sir.
Word. So the other aspect of that, too, is
yeah.
if they're salty and they're picking fights in the beginning, I'll watch to see if they're going to stop. Right? So there's, how many lines do you give them? 4 or 5 lines? I may give them 3, 4 lines.
Yeah, sure.
Because if they're saying something in particular that, you know, it's kind of, okay, now you're offending, you know, people in the chat. So maybe the second or third line, then you're out, right? But if you're just trying to say words in the chat just to get attention and you're not really doing anything of harm, then I'll give you maybe 5 to 10 lines, right?
Yeah.
Just to be safe, because maybe, you know, you're trying to see if your usual antics in another cave of gaming mm-hmm. is going to work in this channel.
Yeah.
Or the attention that you usually get when you say that the random stuff that you say is going to work here.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe it's not going to work.
Yeah.
Right? And then once you realize it's not going to work, be like, oh, I'm dealing with a different, you know, type of streamer here. You know, maybe I just fall back. So you kind of play it by ear, quote unquote. You know, give them a couple of lines, maybe 2-3 lines. If they offend from the gate, automatic ban. I don't even have to think about it. You know, and I think that's how you have to play it.
Exactly. I've been more forgiving than I used to be. It used to be just auto ban, like, oh, they said something I don't like, you're out. Like, but now I kind of try to like say, hey, man, that's not cool. We don't talk like that in here, you know, we don't use that kind of language, or, you know, we don't, you know, don't say that about this, or don't spoil the game, that's not appropriate, right. You know, things
like
that.
You know what's interesting about that?
Yeah.
What's interesting about what you just said is they already know that, so why are we telling them something that they already know? Because I'm pretty sure
it's true.
That's not the first stream that they've visited ever,
mm-hmm.
right? So if it's not the first stream they visited, then there's just certain things that... So my fuse is short in context of what's happening. And I think that's everybody. I'm not that different. So I'll play it by ear according to what's happening. But going with what you were saying, yeah, it's cool to say that. But now the 60-plus concurrents that are hanging out with you because they love you, they don't want to deal with that foolishness.
No.
Right? So then my fuse has to be even short for them.
True.
Because it's like, I know what kind of community that I'm building here, and then this random guy or gal.
Sure.
I don't know if the percentage is usually guy that behave like that. I don't know.
Yeah.
Maybe.
I don't know.
Come in to the camp, and they want to, you know, rile up and just sow, quote-unquote, discord, right, in the camp.
Yeah.
I don't want that. So
absolutely.
Now, in order for me to protect the individuals who love coming in, so I have, let's say, you know, 3 or 4 people out of that 60, give or take, or whatever, that are having a bad day.
Oh, yeah.
Okay. And then Blake, from wherever Blake is coming from, joins the chat, and he wants to just wild out. Blake is going to get – he's going to get banned.
Yeah. Yeah. So. I've had that experience happen before. I've had bad people come into the chat and immediately, like, start picking on viewers or saying things right. that – and then viewers will start saying, oh, I'm offended. I'm going to go, you know, like – and then you're like, oh, no. You know, these are my – respective viewers, you know, people that watch me on the regular, and they're starting to get kind of scared by what this antagonist is saying. You know, you're out.
By the way, I don't know who Blake is. I don't know why.
Yeah, Blake. I don't know. I guess that's just the name we went with.
That's just the name that went. I just Blake. Just behave, man.
Yeah, man. Chill. You're up here, Blake. Let's bring it down here. All right.
Word.
All right. Real Space, welcome. Siri, good to
What's
see
up?
You. And Grisino, thank you, everybody that's coming on Zanks Gaming's channel. I'm here interviewing Uriah here. He's host of his own stream and, of course, the show Radio Live podcast. We're kind of tossing some questions back and forth about podcasting, streaming, gaming, all this stuff in general. Welcome, Fluffy Panda. Good to see you here as well.
Yeah, if you guys have any questions about podcasting and stuff,
yes.
Feel free to do like a lightning round, because I know we got about, what was that, 15?
We usually
15
keep
minutes?
About 30 plus? More minutes if you wanna go that long. It's up to you.
Yeah, we can do 30.
Okay.
We can do 30. Like,
hour and a half is usually been the max. I try to cap it there, but we'll see.
That's fine. Yeah, I definitely want to hear questions in the chat if you're thinking about starting a podcast. Thinking about what you should do with a podcast, how you should brand the particular podcast and stuff like that. I definitely want to see the lightning round of questions if you guys have any. But yeah, just throwing it out there.
Absolutely. So let's go from there to what was something you would like to see accomplished within this community, the Streamer Nexus? Is there something, some sort of goal you want to see us do or some idea we haven't done yet?
Well, I would say that having your stream on the iTunes, the Spotify's, and all that stuff, if you can do that.
Yeah.
I think that would be the next step for you guys, taking the audio and allowing individuals who are not going to be on the streaming platform to find your stuff on those podcatchers, right? So I think that'd be a thing. So we can talk about that.
Okay.
You know, if you want to talk about it now in terms of like what to use, what not to use and stuff like that. Editing software. I don't really edit much anymore.
Mm-hmm.
And what I mean by that is the conversation is more important than the ums and ahs, because even in your quote unquote professional type interviews, they're pretty trained. But even if the ums and ahs are there, they're kept, right?
Mm-hmm.
Because it's a natural flow of conversations. We're not robots, so I don't edit as much as I used to, you know, in the episode 300s or something like that. But so I would say, you know, if that's your thing, or you're thinking about doing that, being on iTunes and Stitcher and iHeartRadio and those things are something that that's pretty dope. You know, have other individuals catch your content outside the video portion of it.
Absolutely. I'd love to hit that. That's something I'll need to talk with you more about. That'll be awesome.
Absolutely.
That'll widen our audience a little bit. And of course, we got people all over the world that are part of this group. So it makes it difficult for them to watch, and just even random people that stop by, you know, what's going on here, that, you know, how do we catch them up? And it's cool to have that backlog and the ability to listen to it. Cause yeah, not everyone's going to sit and watch a video of two people talking or something. It's a little easier to have it in audio form. I see the benefits there, and I'm excited about that as well.
So you have that YouTube stuff. If you're exporting to YouTube, definitely consider doing that for the
video.
Yeah,
we've been doing that, yeah.
Sweet, because some individuals won't hit Twitch because, for whatever reason, they may not like purple. sure. So they won't come here.
yeah.
Just random.
Exactly. I don't get
distribution.
It. Sure.
Facebook stuff, if you have a Facebook channel, definitely export there, which I have to be better about exporting to Facebook. If there's individuals willing to help you do those things, I think that's always a plus. If you put out a call out to individuals who would help Streamer Nexus with those things in terms of sharing the stuff on social media or editing, you know, videos and content for you guys, because there's always somebody in the community that says something like, I wish they knew that I could do these things.
Yeah.
So I can help them, right? But most individuals may not, answer the call until the call is given. So I think that, you know, if you have individuals in your community and your Discord community that have a particular skill set that they want to share, then that's definitely some avenues you could check out as well.
Absolutely. I'm really excited to, we've been collecting clips and all sorts of stuff from streams for almost a year now. We're almost coming up to a year being part of the Streamer Nexus group. It was founded on September 25th of last year, so we're coming up on that anniversary. But yeah, we've been collecting clips, and I've been like, oh, we really need somebody that can edit this stuff and figure out what's good and what's not, because we've just piled in clips from all our streams there. It'd be really cool to have a highlight reel of like best Destiny runs, funniest moments on stream, cool Overwatch highlights, you know, whatever it is, and just have all these different videos, because it feeds the community. It feeds Streamer Nexus. It feeds the individual streamers. And it brings us all together even more, brings more eyes to all the content. There's endless benefits to that.
So is there something that you think you're lacking in the group that, you know, like you've been thinking about lately, you personally?
I think that's one of the things. One of the other things was getting the logos finalized, which we have all that thanks to JazzyNator94, and we're still looking through that and making sure that colors are correct and everything's right. And we just gave out member badges in the Discord, so you can start putting those in your panels if you want to advertise, I'm a Streamer Nexus member, you know, and you can have a link to, I believe usually what I advise is just a link to this channel, because then people could see the podcast and they could be like, oh, I really want to join this group, seems really cool, or oh, I really like the content that all these different streamers put out, how do I find the rest of the people that are in this group? So that's a good way to kind of find everybody. As far as other things, we've talked about having merch, which would be really cool. We've talked about doing charity streams as a group, you know?
Right.
And so we're working on stuff like that and trying to figure out how would we manage that between all these people in different countries, who would be interested in doing that, how would we make sure the money goes to a right, you know, the right place. And I'm always just thinking about how can we do better for everybody. I'm always wondering whether we're doing all we can or not, because we're doing shout-outs, we're doing hosts, you know, we're typing out on Twitter and stuff, and you know, we're visiting streams, we're checking up on streamers, we're always in Discord to chat and give advice, and I mean, we're here for so many different things. We have, you know, not just like we're here to support you as a streamer, you know, we have several people that are, you know, they just need someone to talk to, or they have depression, and you know, gaming is sort of an outlet for them, and sometimes we all just need to know there's a community here to help you in every respect.
Absolutely. Yeah, and just along those lines, avoiding burnout.
Yeah.
Self-care and taking breaks from streaming, maybe like a day or two in between. Maybe you do one day on, one day off
yes.
a particular time. Like even now, I'm re-evaluating the hours, you know, because the 11 to whenever in the morning is not working for me.
Yeah,
because now the days are blending in, so I have to even recalibrate, you know, for my channel the hours.
Agreed.
And stuff. So family time is important.
Mm-hmm.
Scheduling stuff is important. Yes, you stream, yes, it's gaming, yes, you're having fun, but what's your calendar look like?
Yeah.
Right, so even with this day, I had to, right, so church you know, that's non-negotiable. Had to do that. Then I shot to Brooklyn, which was a 45 to an hour minute drive. Then I'm out there. We're texting back and forth. I said to you, hey, when I get home, I'll let you know. Home from where I was to getting here was an hour and 22 minutes with a little bit of traffic, right? Yeah. But I already knew that if I scheduled this conversation with you around 6, I would avoid anything and I would be in a place where I'm not rushing in. This is not last minute. You know, we didn't have any sound check or anything like that. So what's your calendar look like, right?
Absolutely.
So that's really important. You know, pen and paper, it sounds old fashioned, but it still works. So whatever you think you need to do on your stream or somebody mentions something in chat, have the pen and paper nearby, just make a note. So when you're off stream that Tuesday or whatever, okay, make the changes. So Thursday, when you go back on, those things have been implemented on your channel. So you're saving time and you're executing things on time.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. I thought of some other things that kind of feel that I'd like to have is just better graphics in both my stream and even here. I really like having those little bars that are sort of, you know, check us out on Twitter at blah, 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 and it just kind of flips and goes away. Or, you know, maybe as topics change, you know, a new graphic, kind of like a news show. That's kind of how I would like to see both my stream and the podcast, just sort of have a minimal feature like that.
Yeah, I thought Nerd or Die has stuff like that. Have you seen their stuff?
I need to look into that. Yeah.
Yeah, Nerd or Die, I think, has those little things slide to the left or right, depending where you decide to put them.
Absolutely.
I think it's nerdordie.com. Can I copy and paste any stuff here?
Let me make sure.
If it'll take. Yeah, Nerd or Die is really good. Streamlabs has banners too, says Real Space T.
Oh, okay. I don't know if that'll work, but you can try.
No,
if not, I'll post
it.
Okay.
So it's nerdordie.com. I think they have some cool stuff there. And there's a software that Miss DJM uses. What's that software, Miss DJM, if you're still here? It's the one that, Overstream. Thank you so much. Overstream has a lot of good stuff in there. Very, very awesome things that you can do in that particular software. And Miss DJM uses that pretty often. So, yeah. So you got some options, man. You definitely have some options with that stuff.
I like that. Good. That'll be very helpful. That's something I want to work on. Absolutely. Let me see. I think I lost my little page here. All right. Let's see. Where do you see your stream and your podcast within, say, the next year or so?
Okay. So that question is always interesting to me because I'm more in love with the process than the numbers.
True.
So right now we're at 468. I like saying 468 because I'm in front of a PR rep.
Yeah.
Right. Because when they see me for the first time, they have no idea that I've been creating content since 2009, which is really young. I'm still a young, you know, podcaster versus the individuals who've been out since 2005 or 2002, depending on when they're creating their content. So I like the numbers aspect of it. I'm more excited about the process of creating the content right now, and I hope it stays that way.
Yeah.
And actual where, well, if we look at your question, I definitely want more shows, more valuable shows, or shows that are adding value to the people listening, right? So if we get a particular guest on the podcast or something like that that is involved in creating tutorials for podcasting or something like that, where they talk about the process and they actually do online tutorials on their Twitch channel or something crazy like that, I would want to talk to them, right? And figure out what's different in my process and theirs, and if their process could help me prevent burnout, right? Sure. So stuff like that. So I think that more actionable items as it relates to the process of creating the content that we create now, maybe have a better process to edit, like you were saying, the videos to put them out quicker. on the YouTubes and the Facebooks and stuff, which, you know, sometimes I struggle with that, where if the conversation was audio only, then I need to find something that's 55 minutes long, that's video, that I can add to that conversation and make that a video and put that on YouTube, or because I feel like there's value in that conversation, right? So stuff like that. So the process more than anything, and I think that even now I'm more excited for the individuals who have not done their first episode yet, right? So so that is something where it's much easier for them than it was for me in 2009. And 2009, it was much easier for me than it was for the individual who started in 2005 or 2002, right? So because technology has changed so much, the phones are so much more powerful. The stuff that you can plug into the phones or the cameras is so much more high tech. So more process, more value added, more growth, more, I don't know, maybe, yeah, definitely more followers on the platforms that we're on, Instagram or, but I think that, the numbers is one thing as far as the followers are concerned, as I'm thinking about that out loud. But the quality of the individuals who actually support. So you can have 100,000, followers, and you can have, a dedicated, 10,000. That dedicated 10,000 is more important than the actual 100,000.
Yeah.
Because that 100,000 may not necessarily, interact with your content every single time, but that 1,000 to 5,000 that's always there, that buy the merch, that support all the time, those are the individuals that are really moving your brand forward, outside of saying that you have 100,000 in front of a PR. All right. Goes back to that too. So those things.
I like that. That's some solid, things to look out for. The next thing kind of rotates back into our gaming questions. What is a game that you would like to see a sequel to that maybe hasn't had a sequel in a long time or never got a sequel?
Wow, that's
a deep one. Okay. Yeah, this is the lightning round now.
That's a deep one. Okay, so one I really wanted for a very long time actually just announced, Streets of Rage.
Okay.
Big fan of that.
Yeah, I agree.
So that is really exciting. I mean, Golden Axe was dope, but not dope enough for me to really remember it like that. Contra, if they remade the original Contra, that'll be tough, but I still like Contra.
Yeah.
Bionic Commando Rearmed was okay. Right? It was okay. So that was cool. Sonics have been redone a couple of times.
Yeah.
We talked about Sonic earlier. Yeah. Halos have been redone, Master Chief Collection, so we have those, which I'm pretty happy about.
Yeah.
Destiny 1 is back, and Destiny 2 Forsaken, so we're good.
Yeah.
Right? We're good. We're good right now. We're good right now. Uncharted is good. Uncharted 4.
Yeah.
Uncharted Collection came out. That's cool. So, yeah, so we're pretty good right now. Left 4 Dead is dope.
Left 4 Dead.
Real Hordor, that's definitely dope.
Yeah, we're still waiting on that Part 3, Valve.
Yeah. So we're in a good place. Resident Evils are being made, redone.
Yes.
So yeah, we're in a good place. Telltale News was really sad this week.
Yeah.
So that was really, really sad. So definitely prayers to the fams that are involved in that. Great game makers, artists,
creators,
programmers, and all those guys and gals there. So shout out to them.
I think the thing I'm hoping for with that situation is that they find jobs all throughout the industry. And that those people go on to make the studios we know and the studios we haven't even heard of yet. Start making those studios better. Bring those storytelling skills to some of these devs like Bungie that, you know, kind of struggle to tell a good story sometimes. You know, all these other different games. Dude, it'd be so cool to have a Telltale-like story in, you know, whatever.
I want to defend Bungie every time I hear Bungie.
Okay.
And the reason I want to defend them is because same thing that Halo struggled from to some degree. Because if you didn't read the books, you didn't know.
Yeah, that's true.
And there were so many books outside for Halo, and I think what Bungie is doing with Destiny now, even with the lore book that is
supposedly
coming soon, right? And you have the lore in-game now, which is more in-depth. And I think that they're trying to really map the stuff that we need to know and connect outside of the awesome YouTubers that
yes
have the lore videos and stuff like that. So it's in a better place now than it's ever been.
Absolutely.
But that is if you're willing to get the lore book or watch the videos or even do the Triumph stuff that you have to grind to get the lore stuff, right? Yeah. So there's still some stuff involved.
Now I'm willing to do all those things. I can't wait. I'm excited to compile all that lore and I got the book on pre-order. I'm excited. So it's really cool that they have all that stuff in game now, because I felt like it was a lot harder in Destiny 1 where you had to go to off-site. So you had to earn stuff, then you had to go off-site to a website to get that lore, and even that was
Grimoire.
Difficult. Yeah.
Yeah.
For a lot of us. But I feel like Bungie is good storytellers, and they're associating themselves with good storytellers now, and they're taking proactive steps. So I'm excited to hear that. But that's what I hope to see from Telltale, because their unique take on The Walking Dead, on Batman, especially Batman, really moved me. Because I liked what Rocksteady did. I was like, flawless. Okay, perfect. Awesome. But they brought in the whole Bruce Wayne aspect, which no superhero game seems to have mastered, is the alter ego or the, you know, just the regular guy. Because how do you make that gameplay exciting? Well, you create these dramatic conversations, you create these encounters, you know, you create these story moments. And there's ways to make that fun, like the new Spider-Man game did with Peter Parker. I haven't finished it, but, you know, the things that they've done, they've created little puzzles where you play around the lab or you go to all these different events, you know, you go visit MJ, you go visit Aunt May, and you do things with all these different characters, and you build relationships, and you start balancing that with being a superhero. It's amazing when they can finally throw that in. And the same with Uncharted. Uncharted had a lot of dull moments, you know, I would think. A lot of people would say, like, oh, this is boring. You know, like, Nathan Drake sitting at his desk doing paperwork or playing around in his house. That's dumb. I want to be shooting treasure hunters and jumping off airplanes and stuff like that. But it was like, no, that's what makes the big moments worth it, is having those little moments where things slow down and you get to meet the characters and you build that tension and drama and stuff like that. Absolutely. Cool. Left for Dead. 1-2-0. That's why they're struggling to count to 3, I guess, with Portal and Half-Life and Left for Dead and all these different games. But we did get Shenmue 3, which I'm excited. I'm so excited that is in the works and that we have a date. I mean, they say it's next year, 2019, in the fall, so I couldn't be more excited.
Word, moist man to the right. My daughter's 16, and so she's played or seen the Halos and the Destinies and those games. So I think we're I guess a little ways away from introduction at this point, but her thing now is fashion. You know, she loves matching her clothes and doing that kind of a thing. But I think Destiny is a really great game in terms of how to properly manage your time. So they tried to do that for us, but they realized that didn't work. We want to manage our time, right? Yeah. So I think now, in terms of, I know, I get that a lot. So now when you are going into the game to try to manage where you're going to do a strike this day, or you're going to do the Crucible stuff or the Iron Banner stuff, you have to really decide where you're going to spend that 15 minutes, right? True. And I think that time management is really good in Destiny right now, because we want to do it our way. So that is definitely, if anything, I'll probably play that game more. Appreciate it, Panda. I'll play that more. And if she has any questions about how do you decide which weapon that you want to upgrade, and, you know, so I can go into why I'm using more green weapons now than I'm using the purples and the exotics, because some of the greens Aaron, which I found another one recently, is I found one that is exactly like the Nightshade, but it's a powerful shooter. Like, it's the high impact. It's a high impact green with a Nightshade frame, which is very similar than the Three Graves.
Okay.
So, man, I mean, I was averaging like 20 kills yesterday.
I definitely need to see if I have that in the vault. I need to get with you on that.
If you don't have it, you probably have seen it as a drop, so you can reacquire it. So I'll give you the name of it once I can find that. But it's really, really dope. Let me see if I can find it right now.
Absolutely.
Did you? Okay. Let's see. I'm going to look for it right now. It's called the Triumph. As this thing loads,
Triumph.
It's the Triumph DX-PR.
I'm pretty sure if I saw it, I'd be like, oh, yeah, got it. Huh.
Let me see something here. Let's go to... Can I post? It's gonna knock me...
Nay! Oh, man. I need to set up a proper bot that will allow it, because I think right now I just have Twitch saying, no links! None.
No links.
Out.
No links.
Troll.
Yeah. So it's called Trump. Triumph DX PR. And it's a pulse rifle, and it's a high impact frame pulse rifle. It's the same frame design as the Nightshade frame, but the Nightshade is a it's not an adaptable frame. The Nightshade is a light frame. And this one is a high impact frame, so it shoots slow, but the recoil is predictable. It's up down, and I think it's up to the left or up down. And if you do the pulse aiming assistant, you know, for your helmet, it's night and day, bro. It's a sleeper. So I would say definitely check that out.
Oh wow, yeah. Real Hodor has a question about trolls. What do you tell or do with trolls? How do you deal with them?
Interesting. I have a story for trolls. So I was in the Bungie.net fire team section. So if you're listening to this podcast for the first time, definitely consider supporting Streamer Nexus. They're doing dope things here. So support them. Okay. So what I do for trolls is I call them out on their troll activities. So I was on the Bungie website, fire team website, and I said something to the effect, and I was trolling too, if you're not good, then don't join this Crucible invite or something like that. Right. And then the guy says, you will never get anybody to join, you know, this session, this LFG session. And I'm like, well, I guess I'm talking directly to you. That's why you're not my target audience. So he or she went on. So then I said something like, okay, keyboard warrior, you have a fine day. And I think after I said that, that was the last thing I heard from that particular individual. So sometimes you just have to call people out on their stuff, right? Because, yes, I was technically trolling indirectly, even in the title of that LFG post, you know, very arrogant. I think I'm good with Crucible, you know? I'm over one. That's good, right?
I'll say. you definitely hold up the team. I'll give you that.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And you know, sometimes you know you get arrogant and boastful, you know, your skill set and the PvP stuff. And to some degree he was right. But sure. I think there is a cutoff point when you start, you know, with the words, right? There has to be a cutoff point with the words, right? And I think that, you know, I'm not going to talk about your family. I'm not going to talk about your kids. I'm not going to talk about the fact that you can't spell Destiny. I'm not going to say anything crazy like that.
Right.
Not going to do that.
Yeah.
But there has to be a cutoff point. So sometimes it's entertaining with the trolls, because I have popcorn sometimes, usually, and I just look at my Twitter feed and see the stuff that's on there. It's just hilarious to me. And then sometimes, you know, you have to call it for what it is, because if it's not checked, then they will never get checked. So I think that's where I would go with that.
Mm-hmm. That's true. I think we talked a little bit earlier about how we dealt with language we didn't like, or sort of try to give people a chance. Like, you know, they might come in saying some of the wrong things and testing right. you, and then we can kind of just... I've had multiple occasions where I've been able to, like, turn them around, and now they're a regular viewer. Just say, like, right. hey, man, that doesn't fly here. We don't use that. But, hey, welcome to the stream. How's your day? Right. What are you up to? And, like, when you show them that level of caring, sometimes they'll be like, oh, hey, man, actually, I really like Destiny. Oh, what are you playing? Like, oh, I play a Titan as well. Okay. You know, like, all of a sudden, you have some ground that you can do that. Not everyone's that way. Sometimes they're just going to, you know, say more hateful stuff, and then you're just like, okay, you're out. Like, you know, try again next time.
That's but, right.
But sometimes there is a little bit... there, I like to give them that chance to let me reform them a little bit, because they know that behavior shouldn't fly. They should know better, like you said. You know, everybody knows what the norms and the rules are of Twitch, but, you know, people choose to break them. You know, they shout themselves out, or they... you know, use inappropriate language, or they try to get you to break terms of service, you know, different things like that. There's all sorts of dangers out there. And I guess just the best thing is to have thick skin and to be well-equipped to handle those situations. Have mods, have the controls yourself to deal with those situations.
Yeah, absolutely. And reading helps too. So if there's, I'm sure if you put trolls in Amazon or on Google, somebody probably has a video somewhere.
Yeah, absolutely.
So I would definitely say, you know, do a little Googling, and it does help for sure.
Yeah, we have a very difficult question from Kat Ferrum, and this one's gone unanswered for quite a while now because it's very difficult. So if you could have any video game character as a friend, who would it be, and why?
Okay. A few.
Okay.
If possible.
Yeah, yeah, sure. Let's open it up. I'm just glad to get an answer.
Yeah. So, Master Chief, definitely.
Okay.
Right, because he saves worlds and stuff like that, so you always want to have somebody who can help you out with that. So you have that. Nathan Drake, for sure.
Okay.
Right. Because he's somewhat predictable, unpredictable, especially with the adventures. And Lara Croft, absolutely.
I think those are very likable characters, yeah. People you would get along with and you would enjoy being in their company.
Yeah. Wesker, because I want to pick his brain.
Oh.
Yeah.
All right.
I want to pick his brain.
Yeah.
Like, bro, why are you that far out there? Why? I would want to know, right? So Wesker, Barry was cool, you know. He's a guy I could be like, hey, bro, let's go grab a beer or something like that. So Barry was always cool.
Yeah.
Yeah. So there's a couple of people, but if I had to pinpoint to two individuals, it would have to be Master Chief and Lara Croft.
Okay.
I think I would stick to those two.
Solid answers. I like them. Miss DJ says Cade.
Yeah, Cade is dope. Cade is absolutely dope.
Too soon, but yeah, I agree with the sentiment.
Ace of Spades, I need that.
Oof, I'm so close, man. I'm so close. And they simplified the quest a little bit, which I was a little salty about.
Yeah, when they say killing combatants, so you can...
you just kill anything. Just go into Gambit, kill stuff. With a hand cannon.
That's it, dude.
It's simple. It's so easy now. It used to be you couldn't invade and get Guardian kills, which is honestly probably the best way. It should have been. But yeah, now it was you had to kill people invading you. So you had to be the one guy that killed the one guy with a hand cannon. So the odds are a little against you.
It only activated when it asked you to do that. If you try to do it before it asked you to do that, they didn't count.
Right. Yes.
Oh man. Yes, I remember that. Okay, so I can just go in with a hand cannon, and
so
then
now
just
go in a hand cannon, kill everything, kill guardians, kill, you know, Cabal or whatever it is, and you'll earn it. It's quick and easy. Like a guardian is 20%, and everything else is like probably 5% or something. You know, like it takes a while. Takes a little while, but, you know, two or three Gambit matches, and you ought to be good to go.
I need it.
And then you got to start hammering the 250 kills on strikes. And then after that, this is the hard part for me. This is where I'm stuck. Is 25 critical kills in Crucible with a hand
cannon.
That's
easy.
I can't get those headshots, man.
Yes, you can. just put hand cannon targeting with the helmet that's currently available and with the Crucible handler right now. So just get to the level to acquire it from him.
Okay.
Grab that. Get Legend and then grab the kill clip hand cannon from him, and you're good to go. Bye, Fluffy. Have a good one. Take care. Be safe. So I would do that. And plus, like there's double XP right now, double whatever you call it, the Bungie stuff. So you can get Legend by tonight if you do it, and then get the hand cannon, get the helmet for hand cannon targeting, or you probably already have something right now with hand cannon targeting. Just throw that on there, get the hand cannon that has range finder right now, and kill clip through the Crucible handler, and bro,
okay,
you're good money, man.
I appreciate that. I'm going to have to work on that now.
Yes.
Maybe. All right. We need to hit some Gambit on the PlayStation then.
Let's do what we got
to
do.
We need to get some stuff done there. Let's see. Some other responses to the question. Hodor says every character in Overwatch. He'd love to be friends with them. DJ says, except that Laura is that friend who gets you in tight situations and asks you, but did you die, though?
No, I
but man, you'd have some memories, right? Like
absolutely
raiding your tombs journal? And stuff and near-death absolutely. Experiences stuff like that.
Yeah, you want that journal or that video log or that podcast with Lara every other adventure.
Yeah,
you'd have a podcast with her. Can you imagine
how epic would that be?
Amazing.
Real Space T, he actually got this question and he couldn't think of an answer, so now he's got Daxter from Jak and Daxter.
Nice.
Okay. Colton from Gun, says Joe, DVD Trapped.
Mm.
Did you ever play Gun? That was a Western that came out for OG Xbox, PS2.
That's not the one with the bullets on the cover, is it? There was one cover that had bullets on the cover. I don't remember.
That was Black, maybe.
That was Black.
Gun was sort of a more linear pre-Red Dead type game. Tom Jane actually voiced the main character. That was kind of cool.
Mm-mm.
So if you know him from The Punisher back in 2003 with John Travolta.
Wow.
Yeah. That was I just remember being blown away. I was like, actors can be voice actors?
Word.
Okay. Let's see. Real Space T says, also failsafe. I want to take failsafe with me.
She's cool.
Yeah. She's really... I'd like she's to see her more involved in the story, because she's really the only comic relief. Spoilers, but, you know, she's kind of the only comic
really,
relief
she's
right
really
now.
Cool.
Yeah. I like her. It has a skull and revolvers on the cover of Gun. Right. Yeah.
Mm.
It's cool. It's something to check out. Yeah, I remember being pretty moved by that game. Do you guys have any other questions for Andrew here?
Ooh, I'm looking at the cover right now. That's pretty
dope. Oh, it's definitely a game to check out.
That's pretty dope.
A couple other questions here. Let's see.
Word?
If you could only stream one game, what would it be?
Wow, that's tough.
Yeah, I know. That one's a tough one.
Oh man,
is it Destiny or is it?
No, I don't know if it's. I don't know if it's Destiny because you know sometimes I want to stream something else, but it's like, Paladins is another favorite of mine too, and I like the colorfulness of that game.
Yeah.
That's really tough, man. That's really tough. Okay, so I'll say Paladins because I like the music, the colors. It's very bright. It's not Destiny because I could easily say Destiny, but if it wasn't Destiny, it would definitely be Paladins.
Okay.
I like that.
It's a good answer. What else we have here? Favorite game to play on stream. And do you have a favorite game that you like to play off stream? Something you'd be like, oh, I wouldn't stream that.
Favorite game to play on stream currently. This is September 2018, is Destiny. Off stream, because sometimes I don't want to clean my vault on stream.
Yeah.
So I do that stuff off stream, so it'll be Destiny right now as well.
Destiny and Destiny. Because sometimes people have like a secret game that they like to enjoy and it's like a guilty pleasure or something, and they're like, oh yeah, I never stream that though. So I tried to catch you there, but
yeah, I think the guilty pleasure really comes from shows off stream, because I don't want to be interrupted when I'm watching, you know, Ozark or something dope, right? So I think that I'll probably go offline and, you know, I'll just watch it on the tablet or something like that. So what up, Taco, bro? Where you been,
Taco?
Where the heck have you been, bro?
I know, man.
So so yeah, so I think that off stream stuff would be Destiny, Planetary, Acquisition stuff, and then shows, Netflix stuff.
Okay, I like that. Let's see. Real Space says he'd also like Ghost and Cade to be his friend. That I was thinking about how nice it would be to have a ghost and just pull him up and have this compendium of knowledge and the ability to be revived, I would assume, hopefully, maybe a little bit of light, at least that part comes with it. That would be kind of cool to have Ghost as a friend. Pretty much all the Vanguard. See, Real Space is he's pulled into Destiny. I've had a lot of people pulled into Destiny recently. He picked it up on PC. We've had Nick the Canadian get it as well, and a lot of people, like Kat Farum, she picked it up on PS4, and we have a lot of new people that are getting into the game. And once I see that they have, I guess you're a little out of focus. Once I see that they have like two or three characters and they're juggling between them, I'm like, oh, you're in now. You're hooked. Mm. We got you. We got our claws in you. You're a Destiny fan now, because when you start lining up and doing the... Oh, come on.
I don't know what's up with the cam. Like, it's gone.
Oh, there we go. There it is. There he is in full focus.
Word.
But yeah, it's been so cool to see people that maybe normally wouldn't be into this game. They're asking questions, they're getting into it. I think that's our favorite thing. Me and Jesse and Joe have really enjoyed guiding a lot of new players into the game and kind of just telling them, like, hey, make your own decisions on what you think is cool. And, you know, if you get something, read all the perks, you know, before you delete it, make sure it's good, you know, like, and don't just discard something because some of those green guns might be a gem, you know, just giving them all the warnings that we never got sometimes.
Yeah, just, I may have to add to my list of besties for game characters.
Absolutely.
Ikora. Ikora is really dope.
Oh, Ikora is dope. She's amazing.
Yeah. Yeah, she's pretty dope.
She's someone I'd like to interact with more, I guess, than we've been able to so far.
Yeah, she's cool.
Yeah, she's awesome. Just trying to think of some other characters. I mean, it'd be interesting to have Ryo Hazuki as a friend, I think, because he's sort of on that quest for vengeance, but he also seems like he's kind of a good guy and a good friend, and it'd be cool to like spar with someone who's at that level. Like, it'd be like, because like he sits there with Fuku-san, who looks like a total noob compared to him, and like Fuku-san spends like his whole life training from Ryo's father, and like he just looks like a total noob when you're fighting him. He's just taking those hits and not really dishing them out. Real Space says it's hard to say I want a certain character to be my friend, because it feels like you're saying that you don't want everyone else to be your friend too.
Good point.
That's true. Yeah. It would be nice. Sam Fisher, I think, would be a really cool friend.
Cool cat.
To have someone that's like, he's in the NSA, he's like, you know, maybe there's a lot of stuff he couldn't talk about, but like his self-defense skills and his just general knowledge of the world, and maybe his, I don't know, he'd be a cool guy to sit down and have a cup of coffee with or something, you know?
Yeah, invite Solid Snake too. That'd be dope.
Yeah, and Solid Snake, yeah. So naturally, you have to, he would be an interesting character to meet. Can I just say everyone who isn't,
You could. You could.
So that throws out Genji and Mei and all the characters I hate in Overwatch. Okay.
Yeah.
No. Yeah, that's a really, and I'm glad we finally built some answers to that question too.
Absolutely.
Because that really is a thinker, and that's one that I'll probably still think of responses later on.
Yeah. On that. As long as you don't want Akuma, because he's, you know, he's out there.
Akuma.
He's out there.
I didn't think about that. Yeah, characters from fighting games and stuff like that.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, cool. What's upcoming for you, stream-wise and podcast-wise? What are some things you're looking forward to in the immediate future that you're working on?
Immediate future, I'll do the notes for episode 69, which should air tonight at 10 p.m. Eastern Standard Time on the Show Radio Live channel on Twitch.
Yeah.
We also will archive that. The hashtag that we're following very, very closely right now is hashtag TSRPod. TSRPod. So put that in your Twitter and you'll see some of the stuff that we've been cataloging there for that. So definitely the podcast today is the main thing. And then streaming schedule, revamping that as we speak. So thanks so much, Streamer Nexus, for the awesome conversation. Aaron, I appreciate you taking the time to support me with the streaming stuff. That means a lot. Taco and ZJ and all you guys, gals, in the chat, Real Space, Taco, DJ, Cat, everybody who came through, Fluffy, I'm just naming names as they're coming to me. Really appreciate all the support. And questions and stuff. So yeah, podcast and then times for Twitch channel. Definitely check out Miss DJM on her channel.
Yes.
twitch.tv/MissDJM. She's really, really dope. Love her dearly. And I'm going to continue to let her know that because she's really, really dope. So yeah.
Likewise. Absolutely. Miss DJ on that note says, I want to be friends with all the characters I play and come across, but I do want Phoenix Wright to be my best friend. The lawyer.
Yeah.
Yeah.
The lawyer. I was trying to figure out who that was. I was like, yeah, it's the guy that stands on the cover with the suit and it's pointing in a particular direction.
Yes. Like,
I can think of. Yeah. That's funny.
That's awesome. That's a really unique choice. I like that. I need to make a shout out command. Yeah. But we got links right there. If you guys would check out all these different links, check out the show late radio live tonight at 10 p.m. Eastern. Any final thoughts?
Thank you, man. Thank you, yeah, Aaron. Man. Thank you for your awesome community. I'm learning from everyone here. So yeah, just your support is appreciated, and thanks for inviting me on your podcast, man.
Absolutely. Well, hey, everyone, make sure you follow those links there. Follow him on Twitter as well. It's Uriah, Uriyya. You can follow him on Twitter for updates. The Show Radio Live also has a Twitter, and you can catch them when they go live tonight, 10 p.m. Eastern. And be sure to stop by a stream this week. You know, give him some extra attention if you can't stop by, you know, host or do all the different things, you know, retweet, word, support him in every way possible. He's on that affiliate push, and I feel like he's nearly there.
Almost there.
And I'll be excited if this week we can help push you the rest of the way and maybe give you a boost in viewership, and hopefully people have gotten to know you and they kind of want to meet the personality that they've seen here and just see more of that.
Appreciate it, man.
They can catch you in your stream. They can catch Miss DJ as well, in her stream and on the show as well, which I really love. So we're definitely going to have links, for that in the Discord to make sure that we promote all that to the highest. And, well, that'll be a wrap.
Word.
Well, thank you for being on the show, Andrew. Hope you guys have a good night. We'll catch you on the show tonight. We're going to see if we can find someone to raid real quick. It's kind of nice to be able to have a good group of people. We'll see if any of our Nexus streamers are live right now.
Word.
Okay. We got Walrus, who is playing some Destiny.
Love y'all. Love you, DJ.
guys, thank you for coming out. I really appreciate that. Hang tight, and we're going to raid good friend here, Walrus.
Zone advantage is yours.
Oh, I love it. Hey, I was going to ask you one thing. Have you thought about emotes? And we often ask people the significance of their emotes, like, oh, why'd you pick that design? I guess for you, we would just say, do you have any ideas?
Streets of Rage, Sonic, Halo, maybe.
Okay, yeah.
Oh, those guys.
It would be cool to see something like that. Saladin, is that you? I was thinking a Saladin emote would be really cool. I don't know what
I'm
it would be.
Calling it.
Yeah, yeah, something like that. Him, like, doing a timeout or something. Like, I don't know. Awesome. Well, thank you for being on the show. Thank you, everybody, for coming out. We will see you guys next week when we'll have a new guest. But please support as much as you can this week. And I hope you all have a wonderful week. We're going to raid good friend Walrus playing Destiny 2. Hope you guys have a great night. We'll see you. Bye.